it's time for you to meet the real Agent Argyle.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to the James Bond Complex. My name is Matt.
My name is Edgar.
We're here to discuss Argyle, directed by Matthew Vaughn, starring Bryce Dallas Howard, Sam Rockwell, Henry Cavill, John Cena, Dua Lipa, Bryan Cranston, Sophie Boutella, with Adriana DeBose and Catherine O'Hara and Samuel L. Jackson. That's a mouthful.
It is indeed.
I'm sure you don't remember anything from that movie, do you?
I tried to forget most of it, but since we're doing a podcast, remind me.
I'll remind you with the official plot synopsis from argylemovie.com. The greater the spy, the greater the lie. From the twisted mind of Matthew Vaughn, Kingsman franchise kick-ass, comes Argyle, a razor with a reality-bending, globe-encircling spy thriller. Bryce Dallas Howard, just Jurassic World franchise, is Ellie Conway, the reclusive author of a series of best-selling espionage novels, whose idea of bliss is a night at home with her computer and her cat, Alfie. But when the plots of Ellie's fictional books, which center on a secret agent, Argyle, and his mission to unravel a global spy syndicate, begin to mirror the covert actions of a real-life spy organization, quiet evenings at home become a thing of the past, accompanied by Aiden, Oscar winner Sam Rockwell, a cat allergic spy. Ellie, carrying Alfie in her backpack, races across the world to stay one step ahead of the killers as the line between Ellie's fictional world and the real one begins to blur. Yeah, so that's the film we saw. Yeah, I'm gonna start with the good. I think it's more polite, and you know, it's more fun to be to discuss things that we like earlier. That's how I feel. Great things. I love that.
Of course, yeah.
Tell me, Edgar, how do you feel about the cast of Argyle?
It's certainly an eclectic cast. I don't think it's used to its full potential. I think there are some people in this movie who didn't need to be there, or either their roles needed to be beefed up, although there's already so much going on. I don't know to what extent you would give, for example, Samuel Jackson more to do. I think probably the one who gives the most interesting performance is probably Bryce Dallas Howard.
I am not a cat lady. I'm not.
Her story changes regularly, so the character sort of has to adapt to new realities and new morsels of information coming to her. So I would guess that's probably the cast member who was the most challenged, so to speak, who had more moments where they had to rise to the occasion. So I guess she would be the star of the show. I mean, she is the star of the show, but you know, as far as quality, I would say she was the star of the show. What about you?
Well, I'm going to echo some of the things that you said. I mean, based on the poster alone, you think, oh my God, it's going to be Henry Cavill movie. Dua Lipa is like almost center frame on the poster. So is Samuel L. Jackson. And it turns out it's the people more like on the right and the left side that are like are stars. And, you know, they cast this movie against type because I love Bryce Dallas Howard, but when I think of her, I think of her running in front of a green screen with dinosaurs. I don't think about her doing like spoiler kung fu shit. Especially in this movie, she's wearing mom jeans throughout the first half of the movie, so she's not doesn't feel equipped to handle that type of action, but you know she does fairly well. Sam Rockwell cannot be bad in anything. He's great. I've always been a fan of that actor. I remember him from the first Ninja Turtles movie up to, I mean, Galaxy Quest. He's great in. He's great in the Iron Man movie that he was in. Now he's won an Academy Award.
I love this book.
Like, none of the characters feel genuine. Most of them look like a copy, of a copy of a parody of a copy of a spoof. They feel diluted, and
I can appreciate the concept of this author, and she comes up with a series of spy adventures, and in her mind, this protagonist looks like Henry Cavill. You know, a bunch of people want Henry Cavill to play James Bond, for example. So, okay, I understand that, but in her real world, Sam Rockwell ends up being sort of that character. So I can sort of appreciate that. It's like when we say, when you hear the popular criticism of, well, not everybody can look like a movie star, you know, not everybody can look like Hugh Jackman. Well, this movie is in some respects playing into that. Like, we can't all look like Henry Cavill. Some of us just look like Sam Rockwell, but Sam Rockwell still is an important person in this world. It's sort of like a dose of reality in that sense. But, you know, we're dancing around spoilers for the moment, but even with respect to that, which is a fine concept, as the movie goes along, it completely fumbles that ball as well. That this notion of some of us are just normal people, but then the second half of the movie happens, it's like, okay, so that theme just doesn't matter anymore, I guess.
I always write the first act and I write the third act first, because setup, payoff. I find second acts hard.
The CGI is horrendous. You know, if I ever see another digital pullout with, we're on this fast set, and yeah, it's just some computerized nightmare.
It's not a very pleasing film. There are several issues that go far beyond just the visual effects, but it's a movie that goes for broke, at least on a conceptual level, with respect to certain action sequences, and they rarely look as impressive as they should. Some stunt work is okay. I don't know if there's any wire work going on, or those are just excellent stunt men and stunt women that are really flip-flopping all over the place and falling down, and sometimes the camera will catch that. And those are the little moments where you can maybe feel the action a bit more. There's a certain physicality to it. But it's marred in a rather drab look.
Yeah, I'm sorry, bro.
Yeah, there's even like a cat in the film. Most of the time it's a digital cat, but I never really understood what that was about. Like, why was the cat there?
I don't know, because I think is it R-rated? Because it feels like it's something for kids. If it was like PG-13, maybe our kids are going to see, but no, it is R. There are some moments of disturbing violence for young children. I don't know why there's a cat in there.
Oftentimes in espionage films, you know, because a character is operating clandestinely, often it's how they react to the world around them that's going to oftentimes inform us of who these people are. Not that that's not the case in your ordinary movie, but certainly in espionage, that's pretty important. I think where one of the big slip-ups with a movie like Argyle is the character of Ellie Conway, or whatever her real name is, I don't remember. It sounds like Argyle, but it's not Argyle. I don't. She's reacting to this series of plot twists that reveal more and more about her character. And then there's a double twist, because the first reveal is that she's a spy for the good guys, but no, she's a spy for the bad guys. And then she pretends to be a bad guy, but she's being a good guy spy. And by the end of the movie, she writes her last novel. And I remember thinking it was such a crazy, it was such a crazy character arc that I'm not sure what I had learned about this person. Is she the quiet author, you know, cat lady, or is she a daredevil super spy? It seems to be a little bit of everything. But I'm sort of the school of thought that says, well, if there's a little bit of everything, then it's not really anything.
She seems to be perfectly well adjusted to that situation. It's not traumatizing for her. She turns out she's also, you know, on top of double crosses, on top of double crosses. At the end, she turns out to be also a mentoring candidate. And I was like, you're doing the same thing a little bit differently. I mean, you're doing the same thing three times in a row in the span of 2 hours. It's like, and I think you mentioned that, like having flashback in a movie of stuff that you saw like 5 minutes earlier is hella stupid.
Prior to Ellie Conway discovering who she really is, there's this, I think I was the one saying, this dichotomy between, well, the real world Henry Cavill is Sam Rockwell, which is not a bad card to play. I think that can work depending on what happens in the rest of the movie. But then the movie decides to forego that by creating, you know, quote, the real world. So the one Ellie and Sam Rockwell are inhabiting. Well, the real world is just as insane as her book. So I didn't quite understand why that choice was made. Why would you tease the audience by saying, well, in real life, you know, when you watch Henry Cavill be a spy at the theater, well, in the real world, that's just Sam Rockwell. Not that there's anything wrong with Sam Rockwell, but it's just Sam Rockwell. But then the movie says, yeah, but we're still going to be doing flips and skating on oil and stuff like that. So I didn't quite understand what the movie was trying to do. Or maybe to your point, it's not cohesive, so it didn't really know what it was doing.
Throughout the movie, I was less and less interested in the characters' plight, their goals, their hopes and dreams. At the end of the movie, I was like, you know what? It doesn't make any sense, but I just don't care.
I don't want to like besmirch the person. I don't know him, but I wonder what happened to the Matthew Vaughn who gave us, for example, Layer Cake, which is a pretty solid, you know, little British thriller starring a future James, at the time a future James Bond, incidentally enough, but just as its own little thriller, its own little British gangster thriller. It's a pretty decent movie, and there's a little bit of excessive violence in it, and there's a little twist at the end. It's like, oh, okay, you got me. I don't know what happened to that Matthew Vaughn. It seems like the instant he made Kick-Ass, which I don't mind. I think Kick-Ass is okay. But if you think about it, it kind of does in Argyle where, well, real people are being superheroes. But by the climax, it's like, wait, this is not reality at all anymore. And Argyle does that as well.
I cared for her when she was the lonely writer going into an adventure and growing as a person. And she turns out, oh, no, I'm a super spy badass. I'm like, I don't care about you. I can't relate to that.
To your point about not caring about Bryce Dallas Howard's character, yeah, I don't want to misquote. I think it was Steven Spielberg. He said something once, this is many, many moons ago. He said something, he liked making movies in which extraordinary things happen to very ordinary people. And that sort of plays into your point about the character of Bryce Dallas Howard was more interesting when she was an author. It would have been, maybe minus some of the Looney Tunes effects, but it would have been an interesting movie if she's an author. And you know, how do you explain that she's predicting world events? I don't, you know, good luck to the screenwriter on that one, but it would have been more interesting if she had been a character, and she sort of has to the best of her abilities, and she doesn't necessarily become a master assassin by the plot's conclusion, but she's, you know, better equipped to help Sam Rockwell, you know, by the climax, and, you know, she's got his back, or he's got her back, you know, because she's the protagonist. But instead of that, the film decides, no, it's okay. She was a sleeper agent, and she has all the skills she needs to destroy everyone. It's a bit of a missed opportunity, because I think she's a good actress, and I think she's okay in the film.
I think I'm done.
Pretty much wraps it up. I don't think there are any more twists to talk about.
So yeah, we're done. So it's just I let the credits roll, and you know, follow us on YouTube. Yay!
Yeah, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, we're a little bit everywhere.
Everywhere. It feels like forever since I've done that. Take care.
Mm-hmm.